We had Rory Graves in last week to talk about Haunted Racine, and you had so many new stories, and I had some stuff that we had to bring her back before Halloween, and here you are. But the big news is I just heard you won third place in a costume contest playing Marie Antoinette.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a big slit in your throat where the guillotine, actually, you should have put it in the back of your head because that's where the guillotine comes down.
True. No one would have seen the back of my head, though. So we had to improvise.
I guess so. People aren't going to say, well, that's not historically correct. Okay, let's talk. For people who didn't hear our interview last week, I want to talk about some of the stuff we talked about. Mm-hmm. What made you get involved with Haunted Racine, and how did you find these stories?
So I have always been into creepy things as a kid. It came naturally to me. Love William Castle, Vincent Price. My parents thought if it was in black and white, it's appropriate. It'll be fine. And in high school, I got the chance to work for Racine Heritage Museum in their archives. I started volunteering and found all these wild stories of Racine history, some of which happened to be paranormal. So I started collecting them on the side while I was going through the archives, and eventually had enough to come up with a blog where I wrote all of these stories. And through that blog, a publisher for the History Press reached out to me and asked if I wanted to write a book for the Haunted America series for Racine, Wisconsin. And I said, absolutely, and that's how Haunted Racine happened.
Yeah, this is, even the cover's spooky. Now, on the cover is a picture of, is that the school?
Yep, Winslow Elementary School.
Oh, that's Winslow, that's right, Winslow Elementary School. You got to tell the story again about Winslow, because this one actually gave me nightmares thinking about it. This one's a real, it wasn't this, it was this, the little children that found the
thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Tell that story.
So, Winslow Elementary School, right behind the old St. Luke's Hospital, which is now Ascension Wisconsin Avenue campus, was actually built on top of an old cemetery. This cemetery was the first one in Racine, the city of Racine, and it was just called the Old Cemetery, very creatively, and had hundreds of bodies buried there. It was within 10 years that they decided, we need another school, and this is a prime location, so let's just move the bodies. They gave people 1 year to get their loved ones out.
Had to move them themselves?
Well, they had to hire someone or do it themselves.
Oh, man. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And they moved most of them to Mound Cemetery, which everybody knows now. And then some went over to Evergreen Cemetery, the one that fell kind of into the lake.
What year are we talking about, you know?
This would be 1850.
Oh, this is a long time ago. All right.
I think.
Okay.
Got to refresh my memory on that one. But yeah, it was 1850s, 1860s, so long time. And they apparently did not move all the bodies, because when they built the school, they found some bones. But more importantly, when kids were playing on the playground, they would occasionally dig up bones and find just, you know, little pieces of human remains, to the point where they had this old pump well in the playground, and kids would call the water that came out of the well skeleton juice. And you can find old newspaper articles that reference that. It's creepy, but somewhat morbidly funny.
Oh boy, that's something for show and tell.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, I found this femur in the backyard. That's my show and tell for today. That's got to be. And it happened a lot, I guess, if they were finding all these bones back there.
I would assume it had to have been a handful of times.
Now, the school is no longer in use, but the building's there, you say, right?
Yep, the building is still there.
How did you get the picture for the cover? Did you take that?
Yep, I did.
Hey, that is a good, spooky picture you took.
Well, thank you. They did do some editing magic for the moon and the light.
I was about to say, the light.
I took that picture in the daytime.
The building's not being used, but there's a light on.
Mm-hmm.
That is spooky. All right. I have some things here we could talk about as well. We'll get some more stories, but this is the spookiest time of the year for you, right? This is Halloween.
Absolutely.
This is like your Christmas time.
Pretty much.
All right. They did a survey on what creeps people out the most. 3,000 Americans polled, 3% claimed to be fearless. They're not afraid of anything. That means 97% of us are spooked by something. And that's a lot of people. The number one fear, death.
That's what they were.
Yeah. Followed by heights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of heights. Snakes, public speaking, enclosed spaces, the fear of failing, spiders, and last is ghosts and spirits. I found that interesting. More people are afraid of public speaking than ghosts and spirits. How bad is that?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that ranks quite the same way I would.
I mean, I know how to speak in public, but I don't think I'd be so afraid that ghosts would. Oh, no. Ghosts are fine. I have to speak in front of a crowd of people, but no, the ghosts are fine. I can't imagine something like that.
No.
All right. Tell me another story. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Hold off on that, sir, because we're going to have a break coming up in just a moment here. I had something else on here, too. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But we had haunted venues, and one of the haunted venues is in Milwaukee. There are three concert venues that are haunted. The Rave in Milwaukee.
Rave, you know, Eagles Ballroom. Absolutely.
It says, this place is supposedly haunted by the ghost of a little girl who was drowned in a swimming pool that's no longer in use. A dead former employee named Jack is also still hanging around. Have you heard about that?
I heard about the swimming pool, but not about Jack. I think their swimming pool is not I think it's uncovered in the basement still, but completely unused.
I just got a chill going through my body.
I've seen pictures of it. It looks super cool. I'd love to go in one day.
In that pool or the Rave?
Well, I've been to the Rave before for concerts, but definitely the pool. I want to see it.
Yeah, it's in Milwaukee. It's in the downtown area, the Rave. I've passed it, but I never went inside before.
Oh, wow.
And now I don't plan on it.
It's a beautiful building, though.
Yeah, with little girls and Jack running around inside. All right, it's 7:15. We're talking to Rory Graves, the author of Haunted Racine. We'll talk more with Rory coming up in a moment, but first, it's 7:20 at WRJN. Rory Graves, my guest. She wrote Haunted Racine. Give us another scary story from the book.
All right. So today I brought along one from the Ivanhoe. Are you familiar with
Ivanhoe? Yes, I've been there many times.
Fantastic food there. I love it. It was originally built as a tavern in the 1890s, 1899. Actually, 1890 specifically for that one.
And it's right on Main Street there.
Yeah, right on the corner of Main and State.
Right.
And this, it looks like it's an old tavern. It doesn't look like that building's ever been used for anything else. As it turns out, it pretty much hasn't. It was tavern straight to restaurant back to tavern again. And now it's, you know, a combination of both. But the history is not as interesting as the ghost stories are with this one. There is apparently a woman who haunts the Ivanhoe, and a lot of people have seen her around. They call her the Lady of the Saloon. People think she might be the ghost of an escort who passed away there. As, believe it or not, State Street, especially right by downtown, did have a couple of unsavory brothels in the early 1890s of 1880s, too. It's kind of hard to find those, but you can see in newspaper articles every once in a while people get busted for running them. And because Ivanhoe was a boarding house and a bar, there's reasonable suspicion that it may have been one of them. But a lot of the employees have seen this ghost. Just, if you're familiar with the restaurant, you walk in just up a tiny set of stairs through the entryway, and if you look straight back on the left past the dining room, there's a staircase which leads upstairs. That's an apartment now, but that used to be where the boarding would have been. And people have seen out of the corner of their eye a woman descending that staircase. I think I talked to at least three or four people who have seen her, too. She just appears as this misty white lady floating down the stairs. And every time she comes, people get the creeps and they feel like they're being watched. And then they look over, see it for a split second, and then it's gone.
You know, I had one haunted story near me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, all the kids in the neighborhood we saw this house. Now, it was the back of the house, but you saw it through, when you were walking down the street, you had to look through someone else's yard to see it, and it was the house on the other block, but it was the back of the house.
Yeah.
It was an old woman's hand in the window, and that's all it was. It was just an old woman's hand. And all the kids were talking about it. Now, we didn't want to go into the other person's backyard because we knew we'd get in trouble if you go into people's property, especially when you have like 12 kids with you, you know, if you're doing it by yourself. So this hand was there, and we were all talking about it that day. And I told my father, there's a hand. It's an old woman's hand. It's a grandma's hand in the window. He goes, what window? And I told him where it was. So we're going out to dinner that night, and my father took a U-turn, and he said, I'm going to go look at this hand that you claim it's a hand. And we would pull up, and I said, there it is. There's the old woman's hand. And my father took me by the hand. He dragged me into the woman, the person's yard. We went up to the window. It was a flower in a flower pot. Well, I could have sworn it was a woman's hand.
Yeah. Sometimes the brain plays tricks on us.
All the kids in the neighborhood did, too.
Yeah.
And when I told him it was just a flower in a flower pot, he said, no, it's a woman. I said, my father took me up to the window. And I saw it but from the distance, it looked like a grandma hand in the window.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of flower that would be.
I don't know. I was about, how old was I? 8 years old. What am I? 7 years old. It was kind of dopey then. All right, let's talk about horror movies for a second here.
Yeah.
We'll get to more ghost stories. And we'll tell people how you can get the book, Haunted Racine. Not even Haunted Wisconsin. Haunted Racine. We're just staying within the city limits here. You said you like William Castle movies.
By the way,
House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price is on tomorrow on Turner Classic Movies.
I know what I'm watching tomorrow night.
Yeah, I have the DVD, but yeah, that's the best of the two versions of it, the Vincent Price version.
Absolutely.
You got to remember, it's 1958, 59, and you got to remember that they give people $10,000 if they'll stay in this house over... $10,000 today. I'm not going to risk my life for $10,000. But back in 58, it was a lot of money. It's a good movie. Very scary. Are these where the, I guess, Rotten Tomatoes put together a list of the best horror movies? Number 10, A Quiet Place. That was a good movie.
That was pretty good.
The Invisible Man from 2020. That's the one with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Night of the Hunter. Nesferatu, this is the original from 1922. Ooh. They said the guy who played Nesferatu was a real vampire in the film. He said he practiced being a vampire.
Huh.
And they used him in the film.
Method acting.
I forget what his name was. King Kong from 1933, the original. Alien. Ooh. Us. Have you ever seen Us?
Yes, I have.
The Jordan Peele movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's very good at this stuff. The Cabin of Dr. Caligari from 1919.
That is a good one.
When I was in film school in college, we had to watch that movie. It's very good. Get Out. We watched that over and over. That's another Jordan Peele movie.
That one is fantastic. Probably my favorite.
We watched that over and over. Never get tired of watching it. And number one, you can't get more classic than Alfred Hitchcock and Psycho, which is also on TV coming up this week on Turner Classic Movies. I like the description. A woman is on the run. She stops at a hotel with 12 rooms and 12 showers.
Oh, somebody's got a sense of humor.
Here's a little trivia in that film. At the end, when Norman Bates is in the police station in a room, the cop that opens the door and then shuts the door is Ted Knight from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ted Baxter.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's him. Rory Graves is here, author of Haunted Racine. We've got some more ghost stories coming up for you right here at WRJ on Local News and Timeless Hits. And Rory Graves, my guest, the author of Haunted Racine. How do you get the book?
You can buy it at our local Barnes & Noble, Amazon, as well as Racine Heritage Museum and Racine Art Museum. Those are four locations, always there. There's also an ebook version now for people who don't like reading physical copies. So that's pretty nice. That's only available through Amazon.
Give us another story.
All right. I'll actually continue with that one from Ivanhoe, because there was a particular incident one of the bartenders had there. He arrived 6:30 in the morning, because it is a restaurant, so you do got to get some stuff prepared. And he was going to come there to watch a soccer match that he did not have at home. And so he sat down at the bar, turned the volume on, and began to eat his breakfast, getting ready for the day. And there's a sound system in the bar where there's speakers in different corners, but he hadn't really turned any of the speakers on. And then there's a jukebox which hooks up to those speakers. And he was just sitting there quietly on his bar stool, eating McDonald's breakfast, when suddenly, at the loudest volume, Billy Idol's Eyes Without a Face started blasting.
Great song.
Oh, fantastic one. He was so startled, he fell backwards off that bar stool. And then the music stopped just as quickly as it started. And he and the bar owner went back. I don't know if he stayed after that, because I would have left. But apparently he and the bar owner went back and watched the security footage. They thought it was the funniest thing they had ever seen, but they still, to this day, cannot explain why that happened. But I would have straight up left the bar. Wouldn't have stayed at all.
Now, did I ever tell you about the House of Blood?
No.
Okay, now, I'm not going to give the address of the house, because it's not fair to the people who live there. But the house, originally in the 1800s, was along the river in Racine. And it was a site of many fights. People were killed in there in fights in this house. Eventually, the house was moved, and it was also a brothel, too, at the time, which didn't help the situation much.
No.
The house was moved to across the lake here in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Michigan Boulevard. Not going to tell you where.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking my dog one day, and I knew the story, but I didn't know the details. So I walked up, and the person who lives there was very nice and stood in the driveway and told me the whole story about the House of Blood. So the house was physically moved to this new location. I didn't have the nerve to ask them, are there any ghosts from the people that were killed there? I know, I was walking my dog. It was a nice sunny day. This person was nice enough to give me the whole story about the House of Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to read more about it, the Journal Times actually did a story on the House of Blood.
Really?
Yeah, so you can look it up in the archives, I guess, if you want. The House of Blood. Imagine having, and the people who live there now say, yeah, this was the house and the rooms are still there.
Yeah.
It was just physically moved. I don't know how they did it, but I guess in the 1800s, the early 1900s, they can physically do those kind of things. I don't know if it was haunted. One more quick story. When I was in kindergarten, it was a stormy day. I was coming home. This is the one time I actually got the bus to take us home. And the bus dropped me off in front of the neighbor's house across the street because my mother was in the garage with this woman. And they would sit on lawn chairs and watch the storm from the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there. And while I was sitting there, fire engines, police, ambulances, all heading down the block to the Becker house.
Oh.
And I didn't know what, I'm 6 years old. What do I know? And it turns out the bus I took home, so did the little Becker girl. And she walked in, and there was her mother hanging from a rope as soon as she opened the door.
That's awful.
Could you imagine? So
no,
the little girl ran next door, and they called the police and everything else. And that was in 1960.
Whoa.
Cut to just a few years ago when I went back to visit, the B for Becker was still on the door. They never took it off, unless the new people over the years all began with B, but the Becker B was on the door. Now, the family moved shortly after that.
Yeah.
The father and the daughter, so we never saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I want to be in a house where somebody hanged themselves.
Yeah, I got to say, if I knew about it, that would unnerve me. I've done research on every property I've lived at, and nothing crazy has happened at mine.
Well, my house was built over 110 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if anything crazy ever happened in it. I know the craziness since I've been there, but I don't know the craziness before that. Whoa. Do you have another story you can tell us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us another one. This is from her book, Rory Graves' book, Haunted Racine. Tell us another one.
Speaking on haunted houses, there is one right across the lake on the edge of Maine. It's called the Hughes House. Won't say the address for privacy reasons. It's privately owned. But it was built in 1899 and owned by a few different prominent Racine citizens. But it was 1945, there was a couple, Helen Kearney and Thomas Kearney, who owned the place. And in 1945 specifically, a fire broke out in the master bedroom of this house. It's a gorgeous Queen Anne style home. very pretty, but the fire actually trapped Helen inside the master bedroom, which is on the main floor, and she sustained life-threatening injuries and later passed away from it. And my grandparents actually ended up buying this home much later in 1992, after it had been converted into apartments, and then they decided they were going to convert it back into a single-family home. But while they were doing that, they needed the funds, so they kept the apartments and slowly worked their way from the bottom floor up to converting it. My grandfather actually passed away there after a very long illness in 2002, but the ghost stories start as far back as 1992 for this place. You can read an old Racine Journal Times article where, or 1998, where some of the tenants say they can feel presences within the home and they hear these disembodied voices while they're there alone. One of the tenants experienced two of her cats vanishing while she lived there. They never found them. They weren't outdoor cats. She lived on the third floor. And two others, unfortunately, passed away from really bizarre accidents. One of them had a big armchair fell and hit this cat. And another one, the window sill fell down onto the cat. And she obviously moved away after all of this. But she was positive that place was super haunted. My mother had these two people house sit for her. Well, she went to New Orleans for Mardi Gras one year because, you know, her dad owns an apartment building, so she's going to live there for a while. And both of these guys, she did not tell either one of them anything about the weird voices and footsteps. Both of them separately experienced almost the same exact thing. And I got to interview them just like 3 years ago, and it's the same story. They both told me completely separately. One of them lives out of state now. And it started with hearing their name, just walking through the house. They would occasionally just hear it. Initially, one of them was like, probably hearing my mom's parents downstairs talking about him since he's house-sitting for her and taking care of her kitten. But that's three stories down. You realize that would be a little weird. And I don't hear anything other than my name. They both saw this little kitten who loved to follow people around, just walking through the house like it was following someone around. Occasionally it would poof up and then just run away and hiss. They thought that was pretty creepy.
Because animals sense things we don't sense.
Yeah. I found that out researching a lot of different houses in my book. Anybody who owned pets, the pets seemed to sense something was off before the people did every time.
We had an earthquake in Wisconsin. I had a parakeet, and the parakeet was going crazy in the cage. I didn't feel anything, but we turned on the news later on that morning, and they said there was a small earthquake felt in Wisconsin. I didn't feel it. The bird felt it.
Wow.
And
they're smart.
Banging off the cage, going in circles. They felt the earthquake. Isn't that weird?
It's crazy. Something so small, too. Parakeets are little.
Got a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a podcast we both like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very spooky at times.
Oh,
mysterious podcast. My wife and I just started listening to all this. It's very scary. And this guy's a great storyteller. We'll talk about that. Oof, I get creeps thinking about this here. Haunted Racine, author Rory Graves, my guest this morning. Couldn't have been a more perfect time for you to come back. And I wanted you to retell the story of the asylum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too. We got so much to do here. 7:48. Got goose pimples already. Local news and timeless hits at WRJN. All right, one of the podcasts, if you really want to be scared, there's a lot of mystery. The guy's name is Mr. Ballin. I don't know why they call it that, because I don't think that's the guy's name. But
that is.
Oh, it is his name?
Last name.
Oh, yep. It is Mr. Ballin, because he's such a young guy.
I know.
Mr. Ballin. And he tells these spooky stories, and one we just heard the other day. I was coming back from Door County, and we were playing them in the car, and I was getting scared, and it was sunny outside. He talks about this elderly woman that always, she was losing it toward the end, and she would always call the police station and say, John, is that you? John, you remember that one?
Oh, I was listening to it last night.
Yeah, John, is that you? And the police knew her. They recognized the address. And they said, no, this is the 911 operator. It's not John. And she would keep doing this every day. Well, eventually, the woman passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But the calls kept coming. They went over her house to investigate, and they found her, what they thought was rigor mortis set into her, but it was actually just, you know, she was so cold in the house, this is where she was, and she was dead. But the calls kept coming from that exact phone. Well, eventually the house burned down to the ground. Everything was burned down, and this is the day of landlines, and the phone calls kept coming from that phone number. So the 911 people sent the police out. Then they called the phone company. They said, no, that phone line's completely destroyed. There's no phone number associated with it. But the phone calls kept coming in to 911.
Oh.
John, is that you? John, are you there? She was long dead. The phone line was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept coming in with that number to that address. And they were never able to explain it.
That gives me goosebumps.
Doesn't it?
It's one of those classic stories. It's just so good.
One more he told about a theater. An old, one of these old movie palaces, you know, that I guess the city bought it, the preservation people, and they had police in there at night doing security. And they would see all these apparitions. They would hear things that couldn't possibly have heard, like the bathroom door slamming, which couldn't be because it had hydraulics. And, you know, those hydraulics shut. You can't slam the door. Eventually, one by one, all the police officers quit and said, if I have to go back there, I'll quit before I won't go back. And they all quit. So one of them got reassigned. But they said they would see things in there, in this old theater. And there were stories about somebody who was killed in the theater in a fire.
Yeah.
And they saw one of the apparitions there with a hood and a burned face. And three people saw it. And they would not step back in that theater after seeing all this going on.
Yeah, I don't know if I would or not.
Never. Well, and they worked at night, which was worse.
Yeah.
And the theater was dark. And they had cameras, but the city installed new cameras so they could see in the dark with the night scopes. And they still, to this day, never found out what was going on in that theater.
Mm.
I know.
They got to call in the Ghostbusters.
We had, what's his name in there? Ron Helmick
was there.
Yeah. He had this little Ghostbusters thing. He was walking around the building seeing if he could find any spirits. Did that paranormal thing, was that held yet?
No, that's going to be this Saturday.
I know. It's called Paracon.
Yep. Bell City Paracon, Saturday, November 2nd. It starts at 10 a.m. and it's going to be held at the Danish Brotherhood on Sheridan Road, just a few miles down from where Racine's.
And the money goes to charity, you said?
Yeah, yeah. We're donating this year's proceeds to Fourth Fest for 4th of July. And there's going to be a raffle, and the proceeds of that raffle are going to go to the Danish Brotherhood themselves.
I was looking at your earrings there. They're not skeletons, are they?
Oh, yeah, little skeleton cats.
Oh, they are skeleton cats. I thought it was a cat, but I didn't know it was a skeleton cat. Of course you're going to wear something like that.
It's Halloween.
We got a few minutes here. Give us, now, first of all, the book, Haunted Racine, is actually divided into four sections. You said Haunted Downtown, Legends of the Lakefront, the Southside Sanatoriums, and other, what does that say? Other Frights of Racine County. Oh, you actually go into the county. That's good. All right, give us the asylum story again, because this one really spooked me. I don't want to give all the stories. You got to save some for people to buy the book.
Oh, yeah.
But the asylum story, I can relate to a little bit because I know the area.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us the asylum story. We got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So everyone's familiar with Regency Mall. That site, the old Kmart especially, actually used to be where Racine County Insane Asylum was built in 1889. And originally it was just for people who were disabled, but they expanded and also built a poor farm on the area, which is exactly as crappy as it sounds, a place for poor people to stay, but they also had to work while they were there. Kind of like a Victorian era homeless shelter. And between the two of them, people would occasionally pass away. The asylum was well known for not being a very nice place to stay. Poor farm, obviously, not that great. but they had a cemetery, which is now where Pritchard Park is, right next to the Target. Actually, right where that new athletic field is, too. They do still have some of the tombstones out there, but this cemetery fell into disrepair a lot, and people were getting upset. They were going to move the bodies, but they never did. And there was these tunnels that ran under the asylums as well, where they would take the bodies to the barn and then out to the cemetery. That barn no longer stands there, obviously. But people in the mall, in businesses surrounding the mall, and the old Kmart have all told stories about disembodied voices, strange music playing, kids running through the mall after hours when it's closed, and just gives me the chills.
The book is Haunted Racine, and you buy the book how, Rory?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon. There's also a digital copy on Amazon as well. And Racine Heritage Museum, Racine Art Museum.
We just touched on a couple of the stories. There are a lot more in the book. Haunted Racine, the author Rory Graves. What a great name for a Haunted Racine author, Rory Graves. All right, so you can buy the book, and I'm going to try to podcast this, so in case you missed any of it, you'll be able to hear the first interview last week and this one as well. We'll get those on the podcast. Thank you, Rory.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I got to turn on all the lights in the building now. I'm not going to walk through this dark building. All right, it's 8 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check news, okay? Let's do it.
Local news and time.